Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Obscurities of History, the reason why Korea is split into North and South. And in short, basically, this is because of the Korean War, what was called the Korean War from 1950 to 1953. And it's not really talked about because it's overshadowed really by the Second World War, just 5 years before it. And it's sort of in a bit of a no man's land in terms of our own history and the Americans' history as well. In America, it's obviously sandwiched between the Second World War and the Vietnam War, which are the two largest wars that America was involved in. So it's forgotten. I'd just like to talk about it so that you know a bit about why, a bit more about Korea and the background behind it. So just some background then to start us off. Korea was actually once an independent nation and it was unified in itself, so there was no such thing as North and South Korea, it was just Korea. And it's an ancient country and it's always really struggled with its position because it's neither Japanese or Chinese, it is Korean. It has its own language, its own culture, its own history, and yet it's always battled between, you know, it's always been under either Chinese or Japanese influence. So they've sort of found it really difficult to exist as their own sort of country. It's always been overshadowed by its two sort of larger neighbours. And Japan actually annexed it in 1910. This is when Japan is becoming, you know, an imperial empire in the build-up to the First World War. And then obviously after the First World War, it went on some rapid expansions into China. But Japan actually annexed the whole of Korea in 1910. So it stopped being an independent country at that point. And then Japan obviously owned it since 1910 and then until 1945. Because after we'd beaten them in the Second World War, we took all of their overseas possessions off them. So they just had Japan and the Japanese home islands. So we made Korea, we wanted to make Korea independent and free of any colonialist influences. So what happened was, after we defeated the Japanese, it was split down the middle between the USSR had the north and the US had the south. And it was the reason why they didn't give it all to one, for example, if all of Korea was given to the Soviets or all of Korea was given to the US to administer after the Second World War was because the other side didn't trust the other side, really, and there was a fear that they would just turn it into their own puppet states. So they decided to split 50-50 down the middle, then at least there could be some negotiations between them, and then eventually Korea could be its own independent country. So they had the promise in the north and the south of being united eventually after there'd been free elections. So they were trying to get elections in both sides to introduce democracy into Korea and make it its own independent country. The USSR didn't do this. The USSR just made the North Korea a puppet state. It had no elections. It just put in Kim Il-sung as the leader and left it at that, really. They did try to have another leader, actually, before Kim Il-sung, but he was a failure and he got murdered shortly afterwards, so there's another story in itself there. But they appointed Kim Il-sung, basically. And then the US held elections in South Korea, as promised, and then they left as promised. So both the USSR and the US left their respective North and South Korea. The US left democracy in South Korea. The USSR, the Soviet Union, just left a dictator and a communist puppet state in the North. And this was all right for a few years. That was the way sort of people accepted it was going to be. Both sides, i.e. South and North, wanted to take over the other side and unite Korea. Nobody wanted a separate Korea because, after all, these are united by a language, a culture, and a rich history. It's like the equivalent of splitting England down the middle. Not necessarily the UK, but it's not quite as good a comparison because the different nations of the UK have different histories, but it's like splitting England as a nation right down the middle, like across, if you carried a line on from the Humber across the middle of England and tried to split England into two countries. But England, obviously, North and South of England, shares the same language, the same culture, the same history. That's the equivalent of what was happening in North Korea in the late 40s. So it, people really thought that unification of Korea was inevitable, but of course it really wasn't, with the two opposing ideologies there. And then this was fine until 1950, when the North Koreans decided they was going to be the first to make the move, and they invaded the South with Soviet weaponry and basically Soviet doctrine. So there was no Soviet troops there. The Soviets had supplied them, obviously, with weapons to set up the communist state, and they used these to invade the South with. And then immediately, we dispatched forces, or the UN, I should say, dispatched forces to Korea. The majority of those, about 90%, were US forces, and then the majority of the rest, that 10%, were made up of British, Canadian, Australian, and New Zealand forces. There was a plethora of other countries involved as well, but you know, Britain was the significant partner to the US in that. And the North Koreans actually pushed the UN forces, led by the US, back to what was called the Pusan perimeter. Pusan being a city and an area in the south of Korea, right on the coast. And they pushed the UN forces back. And the UN was scared that they was actually going to win and really succeed in that and actually drive all UN forces off the Korean Peninsula. And they almost did it. But we did some amphibious landings further up the coast and started to push them back, landing at Incheon, what was called Incheon, the Incheon landings, Incheon being a city town on the south of Korea. And we did an amphibious assault at Incheon, and then we linked up with the Pusan perimeter and pushed up. And we reached what was the 38th parallel, what was the previous dividing line between North and South Korea. So that was the line at which it was before the North Koreans had invaded the South. And instead of stopping, we pushed further. And that was what really ignited this war, because once you push further, you are then the aggressors in that. You know, you are as bad as the other side. And China, by this point, had become communist already. And they weren't too happy about this. And we tried to push up, and we got very close, all the way to the Chinese border with North Korea, trying to create a united Korea ourselves, or the UN, I should say, on the South's democratic model. And the Chinese weren't having any of this. There's a river that divides China and North Korea, it's called the Yalu River. And we started to notice from our plane reconnaissance sorties that there was hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Chinese troops crossing the bridges over the Yalu River into North Korea. And you don't need to be a genius to know that that's a bad sign. And so there was these thousands and thousands of Chinese coming over to fight the UN forces, because they did not want us, or the UN, I should say, a capitalist ideology pushing right up onto their border. They thought that China would be next. You know, we had become the aggressor on North Korean soil. The Chinese, by their thinking, thought that we would then become the aggressor on Chinese soil as well. You know, when would we stop? When would we draw the line? We had no intentions of going into China at that time, but you know, the Chinese didn't know that. So they threw their lot in with the support of the North Koreans. Yeah, so the Chinese feared the US, and they really didn't want us that close to them. It's like us breathing down their neck, basically. And then the Chinese, this really changed the tide of the war in Korea, because up until that point we had been just fighting against North Koreans, then you have these huge numbers of Chinese troops coming, and we didn't find it so easy, and we actually was pushed back by the Chinese all the way to about where the border was previously with North Korea prior to all of this conflict starting. It was not exactly on the 38th parallel, but it was close enough on there, and it was basically a stalemate. It was like attritional warfare, like trench warfare in the First World War was attritional warfare. It was a very similar situation for that, and no side was really gaining anything. And in 1953, they agreed an armistice, well, not an armistice, actually, it was a ceasefire. There was no treaty signed or anything. It was just a, right, let's have a ceasefire, bring the borders back to where they was, and we'll just go about our business again, with North Korea being its own state, communist state, and South Korea being its own democratic capitalist state. And so, because of that, actually an interesting fact, because there was no treaty signed, and there was just that ceasefire agreed, technically North Korea and South Korea are still at war with each other, and that's why you get all this talk of trouble in the on the Korean Peninsula and things, and threat of invasions and different military exercises and stuff, because the two sides are actually at war with each other, which is actually quite an interesting thing if you think about it. So that's the longest running war in modern history, really, because it's been going on since 1950 up until now, 2019. So just an interesting side note there. Anyway, so the line was drawn straight on the 38th parallel, and part of the agreement was that there would be a demilitarised zone there. So there's a couple of miles of land that border, the 38th parallel, makes up, and there's no military personnel from north or south, or anybody for that matter, any civilians, is allowed in that zone to separate the two sides of North and South Korea. And people thought, again, that this wouldn't last. We thought that Korea would still find a way of uniting itself, but obviously that didn't happen, as you can see today, because it's still divided. So after the war finished, the North was actually more prosperous than the South for a long time, until about the 70s or the 80s. The North was progressing much faster than the South. The South, there was a lot of sort of unrest and a lot of poverty, and it was really slow to kind of pick up the industrial pace that the North had set, which is, you know, quite surprising, actually, that communism had succeeded in the short term over capitalism in Korea. And then there was sort of the South overtook the North, because it had built up its manufacturing industry. You think of cars when you think of Korea, and all of its technologies that it produced from the 80s onwards. So it really converted itself into a modern manufacturing economy. And North Korea was still stuck in the sort of agricultural domain, really. And they hadn't, obviously, have the opportunity to export to a lot of countries as the South did. So the South had a lot of income, obviously, from places that was buying their goods, like the US and like us. North Korea only really sold to, obviously, its communist friends, so that's China and the Soviet Union. And then there was a few famines, there's a series of famines in the 90s, up until recent history, in North Korea, where they've just run out of food, because they have built this communist state that is supposedly self-sufficient. So they don't import anything, really. They do get a bit off the Chinese, but not much, and they try to be self-sufficient, and they just can't produce enough food for their country, which is quite sad, really, for the citizens of North Korea. They didn't choose to be communist. They was forced to be communist by the Russians, and they're starving because of it. And the South obviously has no problems like that today. It's one of the most developed countries in the world. You know, its economy rivals that of a lot of European countries, and it's pretty close to the Japanese economy. So the two sides of Korea couldn't be more different today, but you have to remember that, you know, up until 1910, there was an independent nation together, united by the language and the culture, and of course there was all together in one, even under Japanese control, until 1945. So it's in relatively recent history that they've been separated there. And that's about it, really, for the history of the Korean War and North and South Korea, why it's divided. In short, it's because of the Korean War, what's known as the Forgotten War, and it's due to the aftermath of the Second World War, basically, and the end of colonialism and imperialism in the Far East with the defeat of Japan. And it's just sort of one of them weird anachronisms, almost, of history, where this self-sufficient communist state is left, you know, just a couple of hundred miles away from Japan, which is one of the most advanced nations in the world. Just divided, obviously, north and south, by that demilitarized zone. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you in the next episode.